Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Plus, watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 6 matchup between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Bob, you were right. Some strange doings and dealings in the AFC North. We saw a Harbaugh trade yesterday, the Ravens sending OA to the Chargers and to Jim Harbaugh. And then we saw the Joe Flacco deal between the two teams from Ohio. Let's bring in Brian Batko to talk about that. May we limits? Is he on video here or no?
There he is.
Oh, he's chugging.
Look at him,
the wilderness.
Bob.
Batconian
mongoose.
Look at the mongoose there chugging
amidst
whatever he's
the trees.
What a piece
I'm
of
at the
time.
Steelers facility, guys. I carve out time for you wherever and whenever I need to, except for, you know, yesterday. But that's okay.
That's okay. You're right. He's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I did not think Flacco was I knew they got him to start him. I just didn't think he was going to start 5 minutes after he got there. Limits just read the story. I'm right, yes?
Yeah, he will start against the Packers this week.
That is incredible,
Brian. I don't
think
there's any doubt he would have.
Well, what do you make of this? And do you think the Bengals are at least going to be more competitive now?
No, I agree with Joe. I think it is incredible. I mean, I get it, Bob. Like, he's a vet. He's been around forever. He knows, you know, the ins and outs of probably just about any playbook they could put in front of him. But you always hear about how long it takes to get guys on the moving train at other positions, let alone the most significant and detailed one on the field. It tells me the Jake Browning Cinderella story. It didn't even get to midnight. They basically shut the lights off at 9:59. So they had clearly seen enough of him going in the Flacco direction, which it all happened, I guess, slowly. And then all of a sudden for Mr. Browning, who was sort of a football hipster darling for his work as a backup QB. Well, it turns out maybe he's just not very good.
What does it say about the Browns, though, at this point? Because they have two rookies here now. And I guess they've made that. Once you make that move, I guess that's your move. But Joe Flacco started the year there, and I thought for insurance purposes he would be around all year just because of his age and everything else. But do you read anything into this from a Cleveland point of view?
I don't know. I mean, I said on our Post-Gazette podcast today, the Browns at this point are like your drunk friend in the corner of the party, and you're just hoping that they can get to the end of the night without doing anything crazy. But I have no idea what they're thinking. I mean, I guess it's sort of battle of attrition right now at quarterback. You know, Kenny Pickett was the first man voted off of the island, essentially. Now Flacco is thrown to the Wolves, the Bengals, actually. And for better or worse, it's the Dylan Gabriel show. But I think this only adds to the Shador Sanders distraction. So, yeah, I mean, this was, I think we all expected that this was going to be a strange dumpster fire of a season for the Browns, and it's not even mid-October yet, and I think we're firmly in that territory. And yet, I feel like they're still going to be a bit of a thorn in the side of some teams if Gabriel can be even half decent under center.
Brian, Pat Freiermuth continues to be a huge story. Mike Tomlin was asked yesterday about the tight ends and said basically you better have, somebody like a Mount Washington to block some of these monsters on defense these days. And then he sort of said, well, that doesn't have a lot to do with Freiermuth, but how could it not? How could it not? Bob, was that you?
No.
Limits?
Nope.
I guess it was me. I'm sorry, Brian.
That's like someone asking, did you expel gas? And everybody says no. Somebody did it.
I think it was the video feed computer over here. I've never seen that one happen before.
Well, we'll keep playing here. What's the situation here? Why has this man disappeared from the offense? And here's what I ask everybody this question. It seems like him and Rodgers are not on the same page. How much is that factoring in here?
I don't know that that's a huge factor because, I mean, Freiermuth was one of the first guys that Rodgers kind of made contact with when he got here, and he really spearheaded that whole trip of five or six of them out to Malibu to start working through the routes and the concepts. And I mean, Freiermuth had a great chemistry with Ben Roethlisberger when he was a rookie. So it's not like he's someone we've never seen work with a veteran quarterback and doesn't understand the ins and outs of finding the soft spot against the defense. So I don't know why it hasn't materialized. And now it's a case of, you know, you almost can't complain about catches because you can't get catches if you don't get targets. And you almost can't complain about targets because you can't get targets if you don't get snaps. So he's certainly in a funk with his playing time. And maybe it's as simple as this offensive line is not yet at a point where Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith trust them to not have an inline tight end with some heft to them and just block the guys coming at them, which, you know, when you have to max protect or even just provide a little bit of extra schematic help, you're not going to have as many guys able to run routes and do what you want to do that way. So I think it's a little bit of a doom and gloom period for Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith as well. But I do think that those guys are going to become involved eventually, even if they have to wait until after this Thursday night game against another 4-3 defense in Cincinnati, right. Although it's not like they've got Myles Garrett bearing down on the pocket there.
Brian, it's one thing to use that philosophy and run the ball, and certainly they want to run the ball well. They did against the Minnesota Vikings, got out to a lead. Makes life a little easier on the passing game. You don't have to throw it 40 times, and I would imagine they don't want to be in that boat. If you fall behind in these games and you force Aaron Rodgers dropped back 40, 45 times in a game. That could lead to some problems, which we're seeing with injuries around this league. So do you expect the run game, has it taken enough step forward for you to make you think that it's going to be a big reason why they use it and use it successfully in the next two games?
I still need to see more. So far, so good, given the kind of new recipe that they came up with against the Vikings. But, you know, that was one game, and it was a game where I think Arthur Smith, to his credit, sort of did take them by surprise a little bit with the game plan. But now that's on film, and now other teams are going to know potentially to expect that and come up with some answers for that. And going back to the tight ends, you know, utilizing them more over the middle of the field and just as those basically, you know, the nominal second and third receivers in the offense, that might eventually have to be the counter for Arthur and the Steelers. And, you know, I've got more faith that those guys are going to start showing up than I do that all of a sudden this is going to be a dominant running game week in and week out. I just need to see more from the offensive line and their ability to move guys from point A to point B, because they did it well against the Vikings, but they needed a lot of help from Mount Washington and Spencer Anderson too.
Brian Batko, the Post Gazette. Read his stuff at postgazette.com. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Brian is on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Brian, let's take a look at the offensive line. Which, it's funny, you know, when things aren't going well, they're usually the first question. But like offensive linemen throughout history, when they're doing their job, they'll tell you this. Nobody's talking about them. I thought they played pretty well the other day. Did they take a step forward in your eyes?
Yeah, I think so. I think there have been marginal steps forward really taken week by week. That first outing against the Jets was pretty rough. I think people were holding their breath every time Aaron Rodgers got hit and went to the ground, but they're keeping him cleaner. I still think for this offense to reach its potential and have a little bit higher ceiling, you know, you're going to need to be able to hold up in protection, give him some time to throw the deep ball, whether that's DK Metcalf or a healthy Calvin Austin if he gets behind the defense, or if Roman Wilson can all of a sudden poke his head up out of the hole. So that to me is sort of the next level, the next step for this group, because right now it has been a lot of quick passes. It's been a lot of short passes, which we've seen that over the years. from other Steelers quarterbacks, but when Aaron Rodgers is the one doing it, it's he's so adept at the pre-snap recognition and catching the defense off guard. You know, you want to see more eventually. So I think a lot of that does fall on the O-line, Joe, and this is a litmus test in a major way, especially for Broderick Jones, because he used to just be the guy either on the sideline or on the other side when Dan Moore Jr. had to reckon with Myles Garrett. Now it's going to be Broderick front and center in this big opportunity at left tackle.
They also have an interesting, and it's a nice problem to have now that Alex Highsmith appears to be coming back, Brian. You have a guy like Nick Herbert playing very well. How do you think that plays out with, and throw Jack Sawyer in there too? Does it give guys like Highsmith and Watt a little extra time on the sidelines where those guys come in? And normally it's part of their game plan, but how much of that game plan do you think will be altered by the way Nick Herbert is playing?
Yeah, I mean, I think if Alex Highsmith's healthy, you know, Jack Sawyer's probably not going to be very involved, but that's a good problem to have if he's fresh and rested and ready on the sideline, because Watt, Highsmith, and Herbig are playing all the edge rusher snaps. And, you know, they also now have the club in their bag of using that three outside linebacker package if they feel like they're not getting pressure up front with Cam Hayward, Keanu Benton, Derek Harmon. So if they hit a wall there, they've got another, you know, wrinkle that they can go to. And in the long run, I almost feel like Nick Herbig is positioning himself to be the guy opposite TJ Watt even beyond this season with the way he's playing. But at least for now, while Alex Highsmith is here, you know, he's still the guy who was probably their best defensive player in that season opening win against the Jets. And he's still got a lot to him, both against the run, the spin move when he's rushing the passer. I mean, those three guys allowing you to get pressure without having to send some of the blitzes we've seen recently, it should help out a secondary that's leaking a little bit of oil in personnel right now.
Limits, the notion of keeping you out of this conversation has Brian Batko bordering on a breakdown.
You're very kind there, Joe. Thank you. Do you think Kenneth Gainwell's performance with 99 yards and two touchdowns in Ireland makes this more of a 50-50, 60-40 type of split, Brian, if Jaylen Warren can go?
No, I still think that Warren's going to have a little bit more of the lion's share of the carries that way. But, I mean, Gainwell proved that he can be more than just a one-trick pony who's out there on third downs and essentially a slot receiver disguised as a running back. I was impressed by the way he ran in Dublin. Didn't necessarily know he had that in him. I mean, career high in carries, I believe. So, yeah, I mean, that was great to see for a backfield that needed a shot in the arm, because before that Vikings game, I remember sitting here saying, if Caleb Johnson can't get out of the doghouse, then all of a sudden you are removing what I thought was going to be a major, you know, part of their identity in the backfield, and he just can't get on the field. So he might revert back to sort of 0 to 1 or 2 offensive snaps, but that's not necessarily a bad thing if it's because you want more of Warren, more of Gainwell, making guys miss, getting them in space, letting them work in the open field to keep this offense afloat at times.
Brian, we had a conversation with Limits earlier about his wardrobe. We like his haircut. It feels like he's matured. And this became a big topic today. Bob was all over him, as was I. Who all? And Kabali. Yeah, all of us.
Kabali came in from the top deck.
Kabali, who definitely is, you know, a fashion icon.
Well, we all want the best for Limits. And you've been in here. You've seen how he dresses. Your thoughts on this. Limits, first, why don't you tell Brian the feedback you've gotten from friends and texters on the advice we gave you.
Yes, so some people have commented that I do need to change my outfits and that my clothes are way too baggy. Bob used one specific word to describe it. What was that word again, Bob?
Sloppy.
Yes, sloppy. And there was a post that was put out there on Twitter and Instagram. I encourage everyone to go look at it and comment that it is basically just my friends making fun of me in the comments and laughing at me.
That's a sign that you're loved. You know that.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
People care about you. Brian, the floor is yours.
And Bob calling you sloppy, I mean, that's the kind of criticism that you can only get from somebody who, you know, there's a lot of mutual respect there, and he doesn't hesitate to hold back and tell it like it is. I'm going to go a little different direction, though, Limits. I'm going to tell you this, man. Just be yourself.
That's what I said.
Be yourself. Be what makes you feel comfortable. I'm not like, I'm a pretty casual dresser. I've got a hoodie on right now in a hat. I wear sweatpants more often than not. So I think there's certainly a time and place. We went to a play, my daughter and I, a couple months ago, and there was a woman sitting in front of us. And she had one of those big, like, Kentucky Derby-style hats on and a very ornate blue dress. And she said she never leaves her house not looking like that, because that was drilled into her as a child. And she was probably in her 50s or 60s. So there's some people who want to live life like that, you know, dress for the job you want, dress like people are always watching. And then there's people like Limits who want to be casual, comfortable,
the
comfort
context,
over style.
Brian, the context here is we're trying to put him out there, and this maybe had a dating concept to it. You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about.
Right, but like at the same time, when I show up today, I'm not dressing up to impress, you know, anybody to try to ask out on a date when
I
show
up
for the booth today.
Sure you are, you always are. You never know who's around the corner. And Brian, you're already married. So am I. We don't care about our appearances.
Yeah, we're trying to
anymore.
Help him out in that area, and I think that's the one, you know, that first impression is a big one.
Well, if I go out with friends and
Dan
stuff
Muse.
Like that, I wear something different. I wear like a better styling shirt, and
how
I wear my
How do you know you
nice...
won't marry anybody from here? Other people have. Greg Giannotti met his wife here.
Didn't Craig too?
Craig did too. You're
well, do you
always
think that's misleading then?
You're always auditioning.
If you dress sharply on a date and then she marries you for your sartorial choices and then she finds out that most days you're just rolling out of bed in a
well, she'll
sweat,
see that part
in a
anyway.
Pants and a baggy shirt.
Now yeah. Brian's on you
I don't
too.
Know.
Yeah.
Hey, if I can't be liked for wearing sweatpants and a baggy shirt, you don't really like me.
That's kind of what I'm getting at, man. That could work against you. So, I say be yourself, honestly, but it doesn't hurt to get dressed up a little. I just wouldn't know what to do. I mean, the funny like chicken or the egg thing of it is my wife basically picks out all my clothes for me. But like Joe said, I've got really no one to impress anymore except for her. So I just say, hey, if you like the look of it, that's fine. I'm not trying to impress anybody else. Mm. But if you don't have a woman in your life to do that, how do you get one? Maybe I'll have my wife check you out, Limits. She actually won best dressed in our senior class.
There you go. We've been looking for a fashion consultant.
That's it.
But she would tell you she's far out of practice now as a mother of two who.
But I think in assessing
really,
the situation, you have to be honest a little bit too. Yeah. We're trying to help out here. That's all.
Right. She it's can not... size up Limits and dress him up like he's a little dolly.
Yeah, and I guess nowadays you can ask ChatGPT anything. Have you ever seen Queer Eye for the straight guy? She loves that show where they give guys makeovers and help them get into the right fashion choices.
I think she could help him. I really do. If she wants to come on the air with us, she can come in for a visit, size up Limits, and then we'll have her on the air.
Bob, look at this. These are all just Instagram comments in the last 10 minutes that are friends of mine or people that are commenting
what do they
on
say?
The post.
I think they're concerned.
Read us some of them.
They're concerned.
Well, my good friend Becca, who I met in college, said putting lack of relationship status on blast at work is crazy. But I concur that Austin has dressed the same as long as I've known him. And my friend Schrode, Wiffleball Champ, said Austin has drip. And our friend Greg in Youngstown,
drip
is like style.
Oh.
That word, I mean, it's changed.
Swag, if you will.
Swag. It's
Bob, you're dripping
fresh.
Like Wilt Chamberlain over
Riz.
There.
He's got a ton
what
of drip.
Riz?
That's another word.
Somebody named Pat says, honestly, if it was like 5 degrees cooler, I'd be wearing the same thing.
I like that comment for some reason.
Greg in Youngstown commented, you're fine. Greg in Youngstown,
that's
our favorite pirate
That's
basically
what caller. Brian Batko's saying. But Brian, if your wife wants to step in, she's more than welcome here.
All right, maybe we can arrange that on one of these Tuesdays, one of these Tomlin Tuesdays, once we're back on the usual schedule. So, yeah, that might be good, Limits.
I would love that, Brian. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
And then you can start going by City Limits with a Z if you've got
the
right.
Oh, that's right. Now, changing the accent
and appearance.
Cité Limits. Yeah.
They did a great job on the anthem the other night, Bob.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you reach out to them, Limits?
I haven't yet, but we need to.
We want them on the air, and they're going to have a theme song for the show.
Now's the time. They're famous at the moment. You got to strike
you gotta
while
do
the
it
iron's
now,
hot.
Limits.
Let them
Come
play
on.
This up. Enjoy this 15 minutes of fame.
Well, that's the thing, Brian. They might charge us for a City Limits anthem.
They're
going to
charge you.
Do we have that
they're
money?
They're going to charge you.
We're going to have to go into the well of Bob's money. I can't afford it.
I think rather than an anthem for the show, I just want to hear them have a discussion with Joe Starkey about whatever might come out of his brain about their musical renditions and you. And I think it could be it'd be a good time.
Let's do that. Thank you, Brian.
Brian, always a pleasure.
You're welcome. See you guys.
City Limits, baby.
I like to think I have a lot of fight.
Clip that
145.
Who's that?
And that was Tyler Kennedy making fun of my weight.
Oh. Backo's a nice man, isn't he, Bob?
He really is.
Low-key.
Very soothing voice. He just analyzes things. He doesn't jump into any kind of hot take stuff. He just tells you how he feels, what he's observed.
He's himself.
Very good. Yeah,
the same advice he gave to Limits, he employs every day.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Austin the way he handles him. It's just about, you know, the overall presentation. That's all we're trying to help.
No, that's fair.
And I'm really thinking about dating life.
He's a Christmas present, and we just want to wrap him up. We don't want to have a wonderful present like him wrapped in, you know, unsavory wrapping paper, right?
You want people to look at that package and say, wow, that is something I want.
That's right, Bob. That's definitely the case.
You want to open that because the gift is great.
Is that, I mean, yeah. And that's probably why my sisters bought me a shirt for my birthday and said, here, wear this.
They all combined to buy you a shirt?
My twin sisters bought me a shirt and they said, here, wear this. And I'm like, I told my sister Olivia when I was up at Penn State, I was like, I wear that shirt when I go out with my buddies all the time.
I love it.
Right. It's a nice shirt. They're trying to make my style nice too.
See, we all have concerns for you. That's a good thing.
I'm going to wear that shirt tomorrow.
Okay.
And we will see what the fashion sense is. And Ben Tenuta can get another video of that. And we'll see if I can clean up my act by tomorrow.
Bob won't be here. He has Thursdays off.
No, I don't. Normally I do, but I have something to do tomorrow, so I'm kind of out of it. Okay. And next week, by the way, Mike Tomlin will speak on Monday, not Tuesday, because it's a short week, so I got to alter that too.
I don't care.
I know you don't.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Bob. We did our NFL quarter season report. Why don't we finish the show with a little Steelers quarter season report? Are you game for that?
Let's go.
How about this story, just as I'm set to go to that? Kevin Stefanski won't name Shedeur Sanders the number two quarterback yet. Is he waiting until there's nobody left in the entire building?
Where's Deshaun Watson? Is he able to play? Is he even on there?
He's still on IR and he's out. He's not available. Practice squad quarterback Bailey Zappe.
Zappe, maybe.
He's the backup quarterback.
He's had success in Pittsburgh.
He should start Bailey Zappe the way he played in here 2 years ago.
Yeah, he threw three touchdown passes to Hunter Henry.
But how about Shedeur? I mean, what does he have to do to at least become the backup? Every time you turn around, Limits, this guy is either not getting drafted. Of course, he told two teams he didn't want to get drafted by them. How could you tell the Eagles and the Ravens, two of the most respected organizations in the league, no thanks, and set yourself up to go to Cleveland? You know what? As I talk out loud, he's getting everything he deserves there.
Yeah, there's no reason. When you're a young player, you go, unless you're like 1-1 overall and you don't want to go, like we've seen that play out before. But if you're him, just take whatever opportunity you can get. And I'm surprised. So I just don't see Bailey Zappe being the backup. I still think it's going to be Shedeur Sanders.
Who's the Steelers MVP a quarter of the way through, Bob? I think Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers would have to be my pick, too, because he's of all these teams now, people wondered about whether or not he'd be knocked out of a game. We're 4 or 5 weeks into this. He's the last man standing of all the teams in the AFC North. So, yeah, and he's just been good for what he's done so far. At this point, he'd have to be my pick.
Wonder Twin?
I would agree. Aaron Rodgers is the guy.
Very rare to have us be unanimous on something, and I'm very proud of that, Bob. Who's the LVP, their least valuable player? I'll go first, Pat Freiermuth.
You can certainly make a case, but he hasn't been targeted enough. And when he has been, he hasn't, you know, the one play that still sticks out is the big throw by Rodgers as he's running to his right, throws down, and it's right there for him to make.
The one that Calvin Austin broke up in
no,
the end zone?
No, not that one. He would have made that catch, I think, if it had gone through. So that's one of those plays that where PFF will penalize him for throwing a one that he should have been. That's also a play where you can say he made a good throw there.
Right.
Why should that look as an incompletion? That's a
well, Pony just came in here on Freiermuth and made a good point that we talked about a little bit earlier. Tomlin seems to just be making the assumption that it's obvious and that all of us knew that when they go against a 4-3 team, how could Freiermuth possibly play is what he said yesterday, basically. Did we all know this through his career? Why would you sign a guy for that much money if his availability is going to be limited based on who you play?
I don't think that's really the case. I think he did that so that he's still concerned about his offensive line.
Wait a second. He's playing less than he ever has in his career.
I'm talking about in that specific game. They wanted some help to the tackles, and they did it that way. Not with just him, Darnell, but also
with... But it's the whole year going into that game.
But I understand that, but I think you're going to see more of an uptick in there. They have to. They brought those guys in, he and Jonnu Smith both. My LVP would go to, and I say this because he just hasn't had a chance. I'm going to blame him, I guess, but Roman Wilson.
Yeah.
I expected him to have a major role as this preseason unfolded and the games we saw. He was making catches, he was being used a lot, and then suddenly nothing.
I'll tell you who I'm very interested to see the rest of the year, because I thought he had his best game as a Steeler and he was downright destructive, was Keanu Benton. He was great against the
Minnesota
Vikings.
He had two sacks.
He looked like John Randall.
They need that version of him for sure.
What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr.
Very
Hester.
Kindly. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. And it's sunny today with a high of Dan Moore and a low of Bud Dupree, 65 and 48. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Bob, you're a wonderful man. We'll do the rest of our midseason report and a whole lot more on tomorrow's show. We're going to have the time of our lives, aren't we?
I'm sure you guys will. Yes, you will.
Oh, you're not in tomorrow?
I'm not in tomorrow.
I thought you just said you were.
No. Did I say that?
No.
No.
You're not.
No, but I will see you soon, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, anytime. I'll see you next week, Bob.
Take care.
Goodbye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.